Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Friday morning to everybody here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Brayton Wilson here with you as the instigators are off today. Andrew and Craig getting a chance to enjoy a little bit of an early Memorial Day weekend. They get today off and, of course, the weekend. And Monday, we're all off here on WGR. We all get a nice little break. And then we'll be back to local programming and the usual schedule that we have every day. Back on Tuesday. So hope everybody is going to have a good weekend, a safe weekend. I know that today is kind of a wet, soggy, and chilly day out there. A very ugly day, I guess you could say, right off the bat. Woke up this morning and it was pretty cold out, so I put on jeans. I'm wearing a sweater, and it's not going to get any better today. It's not supposed to stop raining till like 10 o'clock tonight. But the rest of the weekend at least is supposed to recover and be a little better. So at least if you get the chance to get out there and enjoy yourself for the rest of the weekend, good on you. So hope everybody does have a good weekend coming up. Hopefully you got some nice plans to maybe go take a camping trip or something like that. Enjoy time with your family and enjoy yourself because, hey, summer's right around the corner. Memorial Day is almost the unofficial beginning of summer. I know it's not until the solstice or whatever, the summer solstice, that summer officially gets on the books. But Memorial Day for me always is the beginning of summer. You know, lots of memories of, you know, marching in parades and in the local towns that I grew up in and you know, being dressed up as a little leaguer for baseball and supporting all that stuff. So Memorial Day always had a little bit of a deeper meaning for me with just the beginning of summer and, you know, enjoy it. Anyway, back to what we're talking about here today. Happy Friday to everyone. Brayton Wilson, again, filling in for Andrew Peters and Craig Revay today. One Bills Live, Steve Tasker and Chris Brown also off today. Joe DiBiase will be coming in at noon to be filling in for 3 hours, talking plenty of football with you. And you could join us at any point throughout the rest of the day today with your phone calls, your tweets, your texts. You could tweet us at WGR550. I'm on Twitter at BJWilsonWGR. Franklin's producing. He's on the board. Franklin, what's your Twitter handle? You might as well give it out.
@_Franklin_H.
Lots of underscores.
Yeah, tough. It's tough. There's a Franklin H who hasn't been on Twitter in, I think last I checked, it was like 4 years. So I'm hoping that it just so happens that, you know, Twitter gives him or her the boot, and then I can just get rid of the underscores in my handle.
Well, we are here to chat with us. If you want to connect with us in any way, you can do so, and you can hit us up also on our phone lines, on our text line. The phone number to reach us at is 716-803-0550. If you're still one of those people that need the toll-free number, you can call us there as well. That's 1-888-550-2550, and we'll look to get connected with you. And of course, anytime that we get connected with our fans, it's brought to you by Bond, Shenick & King, a full-service Buffalo law firm, 803-0550. So I'm looking today and getting ready to host this show, and obviously the Sabre season has been over technically for 3 weeks, nearly 4 weeks now. We're nearing Memorial Day. We're nearing June 1st. June 2nd is the NHL draft lottery. That date always has a meaning with the Buffalo Sabres as of late, especially because, well, the Sabres finished last place again this year. So the Sabres are dead last. They have the best odds at winning the first overall pick. They do not have to worry about falling back to fourth now in the draft lottery because they are only drawing the first two picks. So the lowest the Sabres will pick in the draft this year is third overall. And we'll get to draft talk a little later because we're going to have Cam Robinson from EliteProspects.com joining us at 11:25. We're going to chat with him. He's out actually in Vancouver. So he's going to join us and he's going to give us some insight on his thoughts on this upcoming draft class. We'll ask him a little bit about the Sabres as well, get his thoughts on what happens with the team going forward this offseason. And then at 10:30, coming up next segment, we're going to be talking with David Pagnotta, good friend of the show, good friend of the station. He's going to join us and he's going to give us the lowdown on what's going on with the Sabres, Jack Eichel, Sam Reinhardt, the coaching search, and how he thinks everything's going to play out this offseason. And of course, you can join us at any point and you could get in your thoughts on what's going on with your offseason. What are your thoughts on the offseason and just where you're thinking everything kind of starts with this offseason for the Sabres? Because here's what I think is going on with the Sabres at this point right now. We're waiting to see what is going on with Jack Eichel. I think everything with the offseason really gets started when they make this decision with Jack Eichel. We're at a point right now with Eichel where he made his comments in his end-of-season conference call with the media. He said there's a disconnect between him and the team and his representatives. He's frustrated. He said just after the pandemic shortened season last season that he's frustrated with losing, and it's been nothing new. Jack Eichel's one of the top perennial players of this league. He was drafted second overall in a draft where he could have gone number one if it wasn't for a certain player named Connor McDavid ahead of him. He goes number two to Buffalo, and in his 6 years in Buffalo, six seasons, I believe, he's only gotten the chance to have a finish that wasn't in, you know, the bottom 20, you know, the bottom five, bottom 10 in his very first year. And even then, it was a 23rd place finish. I mean, he hasn't even gotten the chance to sniff the playoffs at this point since he's been here. There's obvious reasons why he is frustrated with what's going on in Buffalo. The team consistently makes moves during the offseason that they believe is going to make things better for the upcoming season, that is going to change the tide. It's going to help Buffalo turn the corner and allow them to get that much closer to a playoff spot and help them clinch a playoff berth in any fashion. And unfortunately, it seems like every single year, the team takes one step forward and then two steps back. One step forward, three steps back. One step forward, another two steps back. And this season really felt like it was one step forward and seven steps back. With the last place finish, with the 18-game winless streak, yes, it's a losing streak, but according to the NHL record books, it's a winless streak. So Jack Eichel, this right after the season ended, he spoke with the media. I'm not sure how many people thought that was going to happen given his injury circumstance and how he was unable to finish the season with his herniated disc. He comes on and he was very candid and open about his situation. He's not happy with the disconnect between the team over his injury situation with his herniated disc. He wants to get a surgery that has never been done on an NHL player before. But he feels this is the best course for him to be able to make a full recovery and get back in time for him to start the next season fully healthy and 100%. However, the team does not feel that that's the right course of action for Jack Eichel. They want him to have this 12-week stretch, which is reportedly near its end. They want to have him take 12 weeks from when he was injured back on March 7th. And see how the injury progresses. See if it gets any better. And Jack Eichel seems like he wanted to just get the surgery done. It seems like he did a little research into what went into the surgery and how it worked for other athletes that weren't NHL players. And he's confident in his own self that he can get the surgery, he'll be able to handle it, and he'll be able to come back ready to go for next season. And obviously the big bombshell kind of where what he said was, wherever that may be, right at the end of that whole, well, I'm upset with the disconnect. And then Kevin Adams, 2 days later, comes on and says another little bombshell. We definitely want to move forward with the people that want to be here. Is that Jack Eichel? We don't know. We're never going to know what was said between Eichel and Adams in their little end of season little briefing. We're never going to know what Adams talked about with Sam Reinhart, what he talked about with Rasmus Ristolainen, what he talked about with certain other players that came in. Kevin Adams seemed like when he was talking with a lot of the players, some players are very open and candid with him. Was Jack Eichel one of those players that came in and said, you know, that maybe not said anything in particular, but was one of those players that gave off the vibe of, well, I don't know, you know, if I want to be here? We're never going to know that because I'm sure Eichel's not going to say, Adams isn't going to say, we're not going to hear from ownership on that matter. But here's the thing that is really important going forward with this team. What do they do with Jack Eichel? And this is what I put out on Twitter today to kind of get this show jump-started, is I feel like this offseason is not truly going to begin until the team makes a decision on what to do with Jack Eichel. Do they trade him? Do they keep him? Do they allow him to get this surgery and make him happy again? Or do they continue to move forward without him being able to get the surgery and then him filing a grievance with the NHL Players Association and it just getting continuously ugly? I think once we get to this point where we understand what's going to happen next with surgery, no surgery, grievances, the whole nine yards, and if they decide to move on or trade for him, that's where everything kind of begins. And how this goes forward is what they do with Jack Eichel. And what do you want with Jack Eichel going forward? Are you on the boat of move him and get anything and get the best you can? Or are you on the boat of, well, you know, here's some reasons why you don't train him. He still is a very good player. And if he wants to be here, then why think about trading him? And I've said this plenty of times before. There's no reason to trade Jack Eichel unless he asks out. If he wants out of Buffalo, if he says to his agents, get me the heck out of Dodge, I want to go somewhere and I want to win now. That's really the only way I trade Jack Eichel. And I'll be honest, listening to Jack Eichel's end of season conference call, when I heard him say what he said with the disconnect with him and the team and his agents, and the situation given the herniated disc and given his injury and just how the team is going in general. And then he said, you know, I want to get ready for next season and be healthy wherever that may be. To me, that's as pretty much as close to as saying I want out of Dodge than him literally saying, get me the heck out of Buffalo. To me, it is so close to saying that. And of course, the team is going to interpret it their own way. You're going to interpret it your own way. You can give me your thoughts on how you interpreted it. But to me, that comment, those comments that he made, and then Kevin Adams, his reaction kind of to it 2 days later, almost gave me the sense of, okay, that is pretty darn close to him saying, get me the heck out of here. But you could share your thoughts. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550, the toll-free number. Do you agree with me in the sense that the offseason for the Sabres begins with a decision on Jack Eichel? Because if they trade Jack Eichel, okay, then what do you do with Sam Reinhart? Does Sam Reinhart want to stay? Does he want to stay in long term? If he does, okay, there's some money that's opened up now after you trade Eichel. You're probably going to bring some money back in as part of that trade with the return. But then you could give some of that money to Sam Reinhart and say, okay, you've earned this money. You've earned this contract. Here you go. Let's move forward here and let's try to turn things around with a Sam Reinhart-led team. Don Granato, especially if Don Granato is the coach, Don Granato loved Sam Reinhart and his leadership qualities that he brought to the team this past season. He spoke highly of Sam Reinhart and his leadership abilities on and off the ice, on the bench, in the locker room. If Don Granato comes back, especially as the coach, then Sam Reinhart might be that next player that we look to as that next leader of this team. Maybe he's not the captain right away. Maybe he never gets to be the captain. Maybe he just is an alternate captain. But he's one of the guys that's going to be looked at going forward. Then what do the Sabres do with the draft? The draft lottery, obviously, I mean, I've been writing stuff at WGR550.com over the past couple of weeks with prospect profiles. I've written about Owen Power, Matthew Beniers, Kent Johnson, and yesterday I wrote about Luke Hughes. And there's going to be more coming. I promise you that. There's going to be more coming as we go on throughout the rest of the, you know, nearly two-month process now, actually less than 2 months now, where we're waiting for the draft to come about. July 23rd is round one. Sabres, again, will pick one, two, or three. We'll know where they're picking this upcoming Wednesday with the draft lottery. And the goal for me writing these prospect profiles is, okay, say the Sabres are picking number one. Who's the best prospect? Okay, they're picking number two. Who's the next after the best? And then at number three, okay, you're at number three. You didn't win the first two picks, so you get one and two off the board. Who's now available that the Sabres can play around with? And do they bring in a defenseman? Do they bring in a forward? And I think Jack Eichel might have something to do with how they play it out in the draft. If Jack Eichel's going to be here, then maybe they don't have to focus on replenishing your forward group a little bit. Or, you know, if you trade Jack Eichel and you bring in a bunch of forward prospects, a young number one center potential type player, another depth player if you want, an NHL player or some sort, and then you get back a first round pick, maybe another pick or something like that. Because let's be honest, I don't know what the return of a Jack Eichel trade is going to look like at this point, but let's just say that you get this trade and the return. Does that help the Sabres lean in one direction or the other? And obviously, you don't want to be going out and drafting for need. That's not the right approach to take, but let's say that you have the best player on your board available there, and it happens to be a forward or it happens to be a defenseman, and you know, it has to have some sort of factor into where what direction you want to go in making the pick at number one, two, or three. Doesn't matter where you are. Maybe the Sabres then think, okay, let's trade back in the draft. There are so many variances going forward, and that's not even to mention free agency. What do the Sabres do in free agency? I know Kevin Adams said, well, we want to bring in, you know, we want to have players here that want to be here. What player in free agency wants to come to the Sabres right now? The depth players that have been coming here for the past several years and you know, the Jason Botterills, the Tim Murray saying that these players are going to make an impact right away. Kevin Adams and, you know, Ralph Kruger this past year loved bringing in Toby Reeder, loved bringing in Cody Eakin because, A, they were going to help with the penalty kill and, B, they're leaders and, you know, they do all the good things as depth forwards. Cody Eakin was terrible this year. He was one of the worst forwards this team had. He couldn't generate any offense. His defensive play was not great from years past. But yet, it was a depth center that they brought in. Okay, what about Toby Reeder? Sure, he brings speed and can play on the penalty kill, but, you know, he got a few goals, I guess. Cool, but he was scratched half the time last year, at the second half of the year, as Don Granato was wanting to play these younger players. Get them in the lineup. Let's see what they can do on the ice and tell them to go play their game. And they did, and they performed well, and there was really no reason to put in Toby Reeder until there were injuries that came up. Toby Reeder came in and really didn't make much of a factor in the rest of the season. Reeder's going to be a free agent. I would likely bet he's going to be gone. I would likely think Riley Sheahan is going to be gone. I mean, in fact, I'm looking at the Sabres cap-friendly page right now, And the veterans that are unrestricted free agents in Reeder, Kajula, and Shan, the only one that I'd be interested in bringing back in any way is Drake Kajula, just because, you know, he's still 26 years old. He was a name that was here who, you know, played well at development camp and then got into the NHL. He had a great college career and was never really able to put it together. Well, what happens if Don Granato comes in and, you know, gets the chance to work with Kajula a little more because he's had past history Kajula and gets him back to the game where he's scoring goals and he's being a contributor off the wing or down the middle or wherever they decide to play him. And then you're looking at the blue line. Matt Irwin's a free agent. Goodbye. Carter Hutton, free agent. Goodbye. Linus Ullmark, obviously he's a UFA, but the goal probably is to get him re-signed, which would be ideal. Jake McCabe, he's going to be a free agent. I don't know where that situation sits. He said during his end of season conference calls he needed to have more conversations with Kevin Adams and get a firm grasp on what's going on. But these are decisions that the team is going to have to make and evaluate, and it's going to be dictated a lot on what they do with Jack Eichel. If a player in free agency wants to come to Buffalo. And I mean, it could be said with the head coach. I think, you know, the head coach decision might be a little different because, you know, there might be a guy that says, I don't care if Jack Eichel's here or not. My goal is to come in here and help this team win, establish a culture. That's what I want out of a head coach. I put up a Twitter poll on what kind of a coach you want. We'll get to that a little later. But there are just certain aspects that we're going to be focusing on this offseason, and we don't know what's going to happen until we get a decision on what Jack Eichel's going to do, on what the Sabres are going to do with Jack Eichel. If Jack Eichel wants out and the Sabres are going to trade him, well then, they're going to have to make that move fairly soon, I would imagine. I mean, I would think that they would like to trade Eichel the sooner the better in order for them to kind of get their offseason going a little bit, to kind of then set the gears in motion towards, okay, here's the direction that we need to start taking now. It could have a factor in coaching, could have a factor in free agents that want to come here. I mean, if you're drafted here, you're drafted here. The rights of, you know, your rights are owned by the Sabres. You elect to sign your entry-level contract and whatnot, but like, you know, there's going to be a lot of things that are hinged upon what the team's going to do with Jack Eichel. And you could give your thoughts on anything that you want to talk about with that at 803-0550 or 1-888-552-550. You can tweet us as well at WGR550, at BJ Wilson WGR, and provide your thoughts. And actually, we're going to head out to the phone line here because we're going to get connected with our fans. It's brought to you by Bond, Shenick & King, a full-service Buffalo law firm. 803-0551, 888-552-550. Mark and Kenmore. Mark, good morning. You're on WGR.
Yeah, hello. If I had to predict, I think that the Buffalo Sabres are going to trade Jack Eichel, even though I don't want them to, I think the best thing, course of action is, well, you mentioned about this 12-week wait that he's been going through since the injury. June 7th, I believe, would be the date that this team's going to have to, all right, Jack, if you want the surgery, I don't know if this is possible. If you want the surgery, you can have it, but you've got to sign some kind of waiver. I don't know if the CBA will allow that. I think the team is simply scared. And then my problem with trading Jack Eichel at this point is you're never going to get what you should. The people that you should get back are the ones that make up the new nucleus of this team. It's very important that you have that. If you get anything less, it's a disaster like the O'Reilly trade.
Yeah.
And as far as free agency, the Buffalo Sabres have stunk so bad with this, getting players from an established player from another team. It's been so bad. So many high-paid contracts that have blown up in their face. Avoid it like the plague. And I know that's, well, we've been in a pandemic. Just stay away from it.
Yeah.
It just hasn't been effective.
Yeah, no, Mark, I agree with you, especially in free agency. Paul Hamilton loves to use the phrase stupid time when it comes to free agency. General managers get into stupid time mode, and they're going out trying to sign these players who are 28, 29, these mega contracts that, you know, look kind of bad in the end. The Sabres have done it plenty of times before, but the Sabres are not alone. There are other teams that have given out so many bad contracts in the past. To free agents who it doesn't quite work out. But you know, I certainly would rather not trade Jack Eichel going forward. I would rather keep Jack Eichel here, and I'll say it again. I feel like I'm a broken record by saying this, but I'm going to say it. I'm not trading Jack Eichel unless he requests to be out of here, unless he says, get me out of here. At that point, then you look about the market, and sure, Sabres probably aren't going to get what they originally want. Renaud Lavoie, a couple months ago, said, well, if the Sabres are trading Jack Eichel, they're asking for 4 first-round assets. Hey, that's where you start with the 4 first-round assets. That's what I said a few weeks back. Then the comments from Jack Eichel came out, and the uncertainty about his injury. And now the price is starting to go down as expected. I mean, listen, in a Jack Eichel return, your goal is to probably get the best prospect that a team has. If you're trading with the Kings, Quinton Byfield is your number one target in this deal to come back. Okay, not Quinton Byfield. Okay, Alex Turcotte, former 5th overall pick. Okay, not him. Click. I'm hanging up the phone. Anaheim Ducks. Okay, Anaheim, you want Jack Eichel? Well, we're going to start with Trevor Zegras with that. Oh, you're not giving us Trevor Zegras? Okay, how about Sam Steele then? No to Sam Steele? Click. New York Rangers. I mean, you start with Lafreniere. Lafreniere? No? Okay, Capocacco? No? Click.
I just think it's crazy that certain teams would even think about, like, you know, trying to lowball the Sabres.
Yeah.
When there's... I could count on my two hands, maybe even one hand.
One hand.
Better players in the NHL than
Jack
Eichel.
Yeah, no. I mean, when you're trading for a guy like Jack Eichel, when it comes to your younger prospects, there are no untouchables. You do not protect anyone. The only players you are saying no to in a Jack Eichel deal is if it's like a Connor McDavid type player. I mean, would the Penguins trade Sidney Crosby for Jack Eichel at this point? I mean, Crosby's going to be 34 this year. I mean, maybe they would. It all depends on the type of deal. But, I mean, again, if you are a young prospect, you're not. If you have young prospects and you're trading for Jack Eichel, no one is untouchable. You have to give up one of your best prospects. That just is how it is.
By saying you don't, you know, certain players are untouchable, you are, you know, without saying it, you're saying to the Sabres, yeah, we think our prospect is going to be better than Jack Eichel, turns out. And the likelihood of that, I don't care. You listed a bunch of prospects that are going to be really, really good in the NHL. I don't see that happening with, like, anyone. You know? Like, you have to – I mean, you have to have so, so much faith that he'll turn out better than Jack Eichel, who is, you know – I could list all the accolades, but you get the point. Mm-hmm. Like, making anyone untouchable is – beyond me.
Exactly. Mark, thanks for your phone call. I apologize if I forgot a point that you called with there, but I got to get to a break because we're going to get David Pagnotta from the fourth period on with us next after the break here on WGR. We'll get the latest on what he's hearing about Jack Eichel. He's a pretty well-connected guy around the NHL. We'll get his thoughts on Eichel, on what the Sabres want to do this offseason, their coaching search, and more. We'll get his thoughts maybe on the playoffs here coming up in a little bit. Brayton Wilson filling in for the Instigators today. Andrew Peters, Craig Gervais off for Memorial Day weekend. And of course, everything will be back to normal on Tuesday once everybody gets the day off on Monday for Memorial Day. 803-0550 is the number if you want to join us here on WGR.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I think there's a possibility that Eichel, Reinhardt, and Ristolainen are all not bad. And you go from there.
Give me a percentage of probability.
That all three are not back?
Yeah.
I would say 50. I think it is 50-50.
That's Sportsnet's hockey insider Elliot Freeman joining Andrew Peters and Craig Revay yesterday on The Instigators. If you missed that, it's available on demand at WGR550.com. Brayton Wilson here filling in for Andrew and Craig today on The Instigators. They're off for the Memorial Day weekend. We're all off on Monday from live and local programming. We'll all be back on Tuesday. Hope everybody does have a pleasurable weekend. That's not today. Don't count today as the weekend just yet, because today's weather is not great out there. But anyway, we're going to head out to the Western Hotline right now. We're going to bring in a good friend of the program, David Pagnotta. He's from thefourthperiod.com, and he's pretty well connected around the NHL, and he joins us here on WGR. David, it's great to talk to you again. How are you doing there, good sir?
I'm good. I was fortunate enough to catch that overtime game between Montreal and Toronto yesterday. So I'm in playoff mode, and half playoff mode, half off-season mode.
Yeah, the playoffs this year have been quite competitive. I know that the whole structure of the league this year with the divisions was totally different from years past, but what are your early thoughts going through these playoffs here from the start, you know, a couple weeks back to now, where, you know, we're going to have our first game 7 tonight, and there's a good series brewing between Montreal and Toronto. What are your thoughts overall and how the playoffs have gone so far?
They've been exciting, and I think the fan element has played a big factor and contributor as to how exciting some of these games have really gotten. To see the atmosphere in some of these buildings has been tremendous. Different where I am, because no fans in Toronto, but there will be 2,500 fans in Montreal tomorrow night for Game 6, which I'm excited about. So that'll be the first actual game in Canada since March 2020. That there have been fans in the building, so that'll be fun.
Yeah.
But the atmosphere everywhere else has been the X factor for me in these playoffs. You know, with the Islanders at the Coliseum, with what we saw yesterday in Nashville, even though Carolina came back to win, everything has been just bumping, and it's bringing things back to a sense of normalcy, which is awesome.
David Pagnotta from thefourthperiod.com joining us here on the West Her Hotline as the offseason has officially begun for the Sabres now, David, and there is just so many unanswered questions going forward with this team. But the one question that I did ask you back in April, we talked early April just before Easter, and I had asked you, what are your thoughts on Jack Eichel's chances of being with the Sabres come next season? And I remember you said 50-50 at the very moment that we had talked. But now we've gotten the chance to hear from Eichel since his season-ending injury with the herniated disc and his disconnect with the team. And then Kevin Adams' comments where, you know, he wants to move forward with the players that want to be here. If you had to look back from then till now, are you changing your odds at all of Jack Eichel's chances of being here, or do you think that, you know, the chances of him moving on are greater than before?
I think they're greater. I'm not sure how much greater to this point. I think things will pick up, you know, starting probably, you know, close to a month from now, when we get closer to the final, the Stanley Cup final. You know, we'll be a few weeks away from the draft, the expansion draft. Things will really start to pick up. A lot of teams that I'm talking to are trying to do all their internal stuff and get that out of the way now for both the expansion draft and the actual NHL draft. And then by the second half of June, start to really engage in conversations with other teams. That's not to say they won't beforehand, but they'll emphasize that and pick that up in the second half of June. And I think that's when a lot of conversations surrounding Jack Eichel, not just him, but some of the other Sabres as well, will really pick up, because we know there's interest in Jack. There's no question about that. You know, the everything that's gone back and forth between his side and the Sabres side with respect to, you know, his ailment and trying to remedy it and fix it. I mean, it's a risky surgery in a sense that there just hasn't been any precedent in team sport leagues before. Like, other than a few UFC guys, this hasn't been something that's come across in any of the major leagues. So I understand that the hesitancy and concern from the Sabres side. You know, obviously Eichel's side thinks that's been a good path to go, but they're just not aligning. And I wonder if this is also an attempt to push a little bit further to really emphasize Kevin Adams' attempt to try to make a move here. Almost not necessarily force him, because the Sabres still, you know, kind of control the situation. But, you know, if Eichel's camp remains adamant that they want to go in that direction, then to me, it's a pretty big sign that there's just the lack of trust from the organization, coupled with him probably preferring to move out, even though, according to Adams, he hasn't officially asked for a trade.
Do you think that whatever the Sabres do this offseason, it all hinges on what they elect to do with Jack Eichel? Like, if they, you know, with their offseason plans, does it start with a decision on Jack Eichel, or do you believe that a Jack Eichel decision can kind of be pushed down the road while other moves are happening with the organization?
Yeah, I don't think it's priority number one. I think it's tough to categorize and list what's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I think they're all kind of jumbled together because I think they want to figure out what to do with Seattle and how to go about this. Can they find a way to free up money? Now, the Kraken aren't going to take on Jeff Skinner's deal, but I'm very curious to see if they try to finagle something with Seattle with respect to Kyle Okposo's deal and his money. If they can figure something out there, then it gives them a lot more flexibility throughout this offseason, not just navigating through trade, but trying to piece a team together for next season and on. It gives them more money and more flexibility from a trade market perspective and a free agency market perspective. Then there's Ristolainen with 1 year left on his deal. There's Sam Reinhart, who's an RSA. Both of those guys made it clear that they don't want to go through another rebuild process. So all of this kind of jumbled together as part of what the priority is for the Sabres moving forward. If they find the right opportunity to perhaps trade Sam Reinhart ahead of figuring out the expansion draft or figuring out a deal for Eichel, for example, then I think they go in that direction. Whatever kind of comes first, I don't think there's a priority in terms of what has to happen, but I think all of these four guys or the three guys in the one area with the expansion draft, I believe that those are all at the top of the list, and whatever domino falls first, well, that's the one that'll fall first.
David Pagnotta from TheFourthPeriod.com joining us here on the Wester Hotline as the Sabres offseason continues to roll along here. We haven't really gotten to any certain point where things are going to start picking up, but, I mean, the draft lottery is coming up this Wednesday to see where the Sabres pick either 1, 2, or 3. All right, David, so I think this has been asked a couple of times with other people, but I'll ask you this question. Of the three, Eichel, Reinhart, and Ristolainen, do you expect all three to be gone? Do you expect one of the three to be gone, two of the three? How do you think the Sabres want to play this out, and how do you think things do play out with these players? You mentioned Reinhart and Ristolainen, they don't want to be part of another rebuild. Jack Eichel's obviously frustrated with the disconnect between him and the team and also the losing that's been continuously going on. How do you see that playing out with three players who are arguably leaders on this team and have been leaders for the past several years?
Yeah, I think if I had to put a number on, I'd say at least one is gone. You know, I want to throw Ristolainen at the top of that list in terms of, you know, for sure he's going to be out of here, but we've been saying that for years. So it's a tough one to project. He does have, because he's entering his final year, it might lead to a little bit more maneuverability in trying to deal him because he just has the 1 year left on his contract. So it might be a little bit easier to try to move that rather than, you know, when he had three years left, for example, at his 5-4, whatever his cap hit is. I think the return for a Reinhart would be pretty significant. I believe, you know, especially after the season that he just had and the versatility that he brings playing the wing and the center position, I think there would be a pretty good return there. And I think that would be more aligned of the quote-unquote hockey trade, talent for talent kind of swap that might come in. Whereas a deal for Eichel, I think, would be a combination. I think you'd get at least one piece that's NHL ready or NHL proven at this point. You're probably going to get another top prospect that's either on the cusp or maybe another year away. Maybe he gets a taste later on throughout next season, in the second half or something to that effect. And then, you know, some other pieces here, another pick, first round pick, another prospect, that kind of thing. So I think the Eichel return would be a bit of a jumble in terms of an overall package. I think you move Reinhart. It's a hockey type trade. You're swapping talent for talent. You're moving him out. You're going to get somebody to replace him in the lineup. And Ristolainen probably on the lower end in terms of what the overall return would be. But look, those are areas they got to figure out. And they also got to figure out goaltending as well. That's another big important one for them moving into next season is what do they do? Are they going to be able to get Ullmark signed? Is he going to test? We reported around the trade deadline that, yes, that was the plan. He wasn't going to sign a deal then, and he was looking towards free agency. He wants to test the market. Hasn't closed the door on the Sabres, but wants to see what his options are. So they got to figure out what that area is as well, and that might be actually up there in the priority list as well.
David, you mentioned the Seattle expansion draft and the potential of maybe the Sabres giving some incentive towards taking Kyle Okposo off their hands. He's got two more years left on his deal at $6 million. I necessarily wouldn't think they would be able to do that with a guy like Jeff Skinner, but is there anybody else potentially that they could try and do that with? Maybe even a Ristolainen type of player where they give him a little incentive to take that player, and what exactly would it take this time around, given how some teams were burned so badly in the Vegas expansion draft with giving up some of the assets that they did so they could protect one asset or another. How has that mentality changed going into this time around with Seattle?
Yeah, I think some people have learned their lesson in terms of maybe giving up more futures than, you know, cusp on the verge type players, like guys that have maybe had a couple years under their belt and a change of scenery would propel them further. You know, Marchessault, Riley Smith, I mean, Florida really got burned, but they weren't the only ones. Shea Theodore from Anaheim, you know, so I think we're still going to see some of those types of moves, I would project, but maybe not to the amount that we saw in 2017 with Vegas. I think we're going to see more picks because of the uncertainty with this draft in terms, what I mean by uncertainty is just because they haven't, it's not a normal year, obviously, so the scouting's been a lot different. It might be, especially when we get into the later part of the second round and on, more of a crapshoot. You're going to take a chance on one guy that you got a good feeling with versus somebody that you've been following for the last 18 months and seeing that player play. So I think this might be an opportunity for Seattle to kind of stockpile their cupboard quite easily with those types of deals. But you know, you're right. If it's not a Okposo, then maybe it is Ristolainen, a little bit less money, expiring contract. Maybe that works. But the other thing here, and the most interesting thing for me, with respect to this year's expansion draft, is because we've got the flat cap, there are other teams that are interested in helping out other clubs. So, you know, whether it's a Detroit or even LA, if there is a player on an expiring contract, with 1 year left on his deal, those teams might engage and say, okay, well, give me something else and I will take this guy for the next year or two or something to that effect. Teams that have the extra cap space. There are going to be some teams other than Seattle that are willing to make those types of deals. It's just what that overall sweetener is going to be is a little undetermined right now.
Couple more minutes with David Pagnotta from the fourthperiod.com here on the Wester Hotline. Real quick, David, what's the latest that you're hearing on the Sabres coaching search? There was the reported that the Rick Tocchet had talked with the Sabres perhaps yesterday about the opening and head coach. Mm-hmm. Don Granato is still a hot candidate to remain and have the interim tag taken off. What are you hearing about the Sabres and potentially who else could they be looking to talk to in this process?
Yeah, they spoke with Tocchet. I don't remember what day. I'm not sure if it was yesterday or the day before, but I believe that it was scheduled this week. Bruce Boudreau is another guy that they've either had a conversation with or are going to have a conversation with. You know, this is something that I think the Sabres want to get done, I'd say, within the next month, because it's not just them, obviously. There's competition out there for teams that are looking to hire a new bench boss. You know, Tockett's also been talking to the Rangers, and he's going to talk to Columbus, and there's going to be a few others that are there that are looking for deals. You know, there's some speculation over the future of Dallas Eakins in Anaheim. What are the Ducks going to do from that side of things. You know, we know Jeff Blashill has this new 3-year deal with Detroit. You know, Travis Green got his new 2-year extension with Vancouver. So some places have been solidified, but there are still others, vacancies that need to be figured out. And then, you know, what happens with Montreal? Ducharme is on a interim tag. Are they going to stick with him or, you know, look elsewhere? So I would imagine that over the next, you know, 3 to 4 weeks, the Sabres would like to solidify something, if not sooner. But I that's kind of the sense there. You know, there's been talk of a guy like Nate Lehman, who's, you know, in Providence, and he's been with the U.S. national junior team. He's overseas right now as an assistant with the World Championships. He's a guy that's getting some play as well and should get some conversations and interviews with some teams once he gets back. So there's going to be, you know, obviously some other candidates that are going to kind of be part of the mix. And Granato is still definitely, you know, a real contender. I think a lot of the people were impressed with what he did, at least brought a calming presence to that room and able to get that, you know, that stress and all that buildup off everybody's shoulders to say, look, trade deadline's done. We're past all of this. Let's get through and let's play some better hockey moving forward, more relaxed style. And I think the guy, it really resonated with the guys in the room. So he'll be part of the mix for sure. But I think the Sabres would like to kind of solidify something within the next few weeks here, you know, maybe 3, maybe 4, because they are going to have some competition that they already have that they got to deal with.
And last thing I'll ask you here, David, is about the draft class coming up. The NHL Central Scouting released their rankings yesterday. Owen Power is ranked number one amongst North American players. William Eklund is the top-ranked international player that's in their rankings. Just want to get your thoughts overall on the top of the class, who you like up there, and who might potentially be a good fit for the Sabres, let's say, if they do win the number one overall pick.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the three guys out of Michigan you know, kind of leading the charge here. And that's the thing with this draft is, you know, some areas, whether it was in college or whether it was some of the overseas, you know, the Quebec League to a certain extent, Ontario, there was nothing. So it's a lot trickier of a draft, but the guys that kind of lead the charge are the players that going into this draft were the guys that everybody thought were going to make some noise. And, you know, I think Power is still the guy that is kind of at the top of the list. Now, depending on where things fall and where the balls fall and all that stuff, you know, you want to be kind of in that top three if you're, you know, the Buffalo Sabres. So whether it's Power, you know, Luke Hughes, I know, is fourth among North American skaters, but he's going to be a really solid defenseman, really solid player in the National Hockey League, I believe. So that's another guy if you're looking from a defensive standpoint, excuse me. You know, Simon Edvidsson, defenseman, he's number two on the international ranks. There's another one. So if you're looking to solidify your decor even further, this is a good start, certainly to do that or to amplify your defensive core. So there's going to be options here, you know, for the Buffalo Sabres in terms of what direction they want to go in. And as I mentioned earlier, I think the expansion draft and, you know, the deals that are going to come into play here are going to play a big factor, not just for the Sabres, but other teams on how they're going to target the draft. You typically want to go with the best player available, but if you've solidified yourself with some real, you know, you're a team like LA, I'll use for example, their cupboard is full of top tier prospects up front. Defensively, they could use some upgrades. So wherever they're positioned, they may, you know, tilt to the side of a defenseman versus another forward. You know, we'll see. Maybe there's a deal there as well. We know that LA has been a team that's been hot for Jack Eichel. They've got a strong cupboard, as I mentioned. So a lot of these teams are going to look not just for, you know, this scenario, but other teams looking to make deals and say, all right, here's where I'm positioned. Here's where I'm drafting. Here's the options that are available to me. I can afford to move out, you know, player X if I can replenish that position from a prospect pool perspective. And from a Sabre side of things, if you're moving anybody out and bringing these younger players in, all right, well, let's try to load up front because we know we'll be in a position, whether it's 1, 2, 3, 4, to draft a really good defenseman that can go alongside a guy like, you know, Rasmus Dahlin and solidify the defensive core for, you know, the next 10, 15 years. So there's going to be a lot of options for the Sabres. I know it's been a tough situation and a tough year, tough couple of seasons with everything that's gone on. But, you know, if they do this right, there's the dominoes or the stars are kind of aligning for them to get through this in a positive way. You know, you got to be able to MacGyver your way through the trade market and get the best return And with this draft, and depending where they select, it could certainly escalate things in terms of getting this franchise back on track.
David Pagnotta from thefourthperiod.com joining us here in the Western Hotline. David, it's always great chatting with you. It's always great catching up and getting the latest on what's going on with the Sabres. Hope you enjoy your weekend, and hopefully we'll get the chance to talk again sometime soon, and maybe next year things will start to turn around here for the Sabres.
Yeah, that would definitely be good. Thanks for having me, and happy Memorial Day weekend.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you. David Pagnotta joining us here from thefourthperiod.com of the Western Hotline. We'll step aside, take a timeout, wrap up the first hour, and then we'll get to hour number two, where I want to talk a little bit about the coach and also get more people's thoughts on what the Sabres do with Jack Eichel. And is everything kind of dictated on an Eichel move? Does the offseason get started with the Eichel move, and then everything kind of falls into place from there? You're welcome to join us with your thoughts at 803-0550 or 1-888-552-550. Brayton Wilson filling in for the Instigators today on WGR.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Time to get connected with our fans right now. It's brought to you by Bond, Shenick & King, a full-service Buffalo law firm. Text comes in from Bub here saying the Sabres should keep Eichel. Comments were to put pressure on Adams and the surgery he wants. Reinhart is always underappreciated. Mike tweets in here, Jack Eichel is the captain of his team. The players play the game. Jack is part of the problem, though. If he was a true leader, he would want to be part of the solution. Move on from him. His heart and leadership isn't here. Get what you can for him. He doesn't fit what the Sabres need. Also, hearing in from Mike here on Twitter, another Mike, different Mike though. Mike says it's not an easy question to answer, seeing as opinions change depending on what they do with Eichel to a lesser degree. Reinhart, move them and I want something new. Keep them and I want a veteran coach because they're trying to win now. And this is all judged upon the conversation of Jack Eichel, what they do with Jack Eichel, and is what the Sabres do this offseason kind of starting with what the Sabres elect to do with Jack Eichel. We could get more thoughts on that as well when we come back from this upcoming break for hour number two. Cam Robinson from EliteProspects.com also going to join us, but we'll also talk a little bit about the coaching search next hour and what exactly the Sabres and what you want is for the head coach of the Sabres coming up here, heading into next season and beyond, hopefully more than just a 2-year tenure. Brayton Wilson filling in for the Instigators here today on WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.